Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Younger Generation Leaders Network. This episode is part of a series of conversations with YGLN members on different aspects of the future of Euro-Atlantic relations with the new Biden administration. Today, we're joined by Liana Fix, who will address whether the Biden administration is likely to take a tougher stance on Moscow. In this episode, we will hear not only about areas where US-Russia relations might remain difficult, such as Ukraine, Nord Stream 2, cyberspace, and Russia's global influence, but also we will hear about areas where cooperation still remains possible, including arms control and strategic stability, as well as tackling climate change.
So there are certain areas where we will see cooperation between the United States and Russia under a new Biden presidency, but there are also areas where we will definitely see a tougher approach by the Biden administration towards Russia. So let's have a look at which kind of areas are those where we will see a tougher approach and what are the areas where we might see opportunities for cooperation between Washington and Moscow in the next years. The first area where we will definitely see a tough approach from the Biden administration is policy towards Ukraine and especially the issue of Nord Stream 2. This is something that is not only a bilateral US-Russian issue, but which also concerns the US-German relationship and has already put a strain on the beginning of Biden's presidency. At the moment, both Germany and the United States are trying to develop a compromise about Nord Stream 2. How should we proceed? Should Nord Stream 2 be put on hold entirely? Should the construction be completed and then be put on hold? At which point would the United States withdraw sanctions? These are questions that will be part of an ongoing negotiation between Germany and the United States throughout the next months. What is interesting is that in Washington, there is a bipartisan agreement when it comes to Nord Stream 2. So from Biden's perspective, there's not a lot of necessity to give in to Germany's demands because back home, he will face resistance if he walks away from such kind of negotiations, giving the impression that he has not supported Ukraine in the way that Congress has demanded and in the way he was supposed to do. Then another area will certainly be pushing back when it comes to Russia's global influence. We have seen Russia's influence in many parts of the world increasing, both in Europe's neighborhood, but also in Libya and in North Africa in general, in the Middle East. This is certainly a tendency that can only be seen as worrisome from a Washington perspective. And in this context, also the increasing alignment between Russia and China is certainly something that makes Washington headaches. We see common military trainings between Russia and China. We see increasing ties also in the economic sphere. This is one of the main challenges. And also, if we look at the past US policies, and we remember Kissinger saying that we should at all costs prevent Russia and China joining forces in Europe. He said we should not have Eurasia working together against the United States. These two topics, addressing Russia's global influence, but also looking at what can be done to prevent Russia and China from going closer together, will be another important agenda point. Then the other point where we can expect a tough policy from Biden is the issue of undermining democracy, cyber attacks, and disinformation. This is an issue which also concerns US allies. Berlin has seen an attack on the German Bundestag in 2015, and this is an area where definitely a joint transatlantic approach would be useful to establish a common position towards Russia and to prevent such and deter such kind of cyber attacks in the future. Joe Biden has gathered the right personnel to address these issues. He is now surrounded by a group of very experienced politicians, but also administration officials who have in the past had a lot of experience with Russia. If we think of the new CIA director, William Burns, but also of Victoria Nuland, this personnel will certainly be rather on the hawkish more than on the dovish side. And it's important to note that Biden is also the first US president who will not attempt a reset with Russia, something that Obama, with Joe Biden as his vice president, has still tried during his presidency. Which areas could be areas for cooperation? And there are not as many, but there are a few windows of opportunity between the US and Russia in the next 4 years. The first is obvious, and that is arms control. The extension of New START was a relief to everyone. And it seems that there's also more ambition behind it, that it's not only about the extension of New START, but that US-Russian strategic stability talks should resume, and that there's a global, a broader agenda that the United States would like to pursue with Russia. For Europe especially, that was very positive news. Europe has been the region that suffered most from the worsening of the arms control architecture. If we just think about the INF Treaty, the Open Skies Treaty. So this is also an opportunity where Europe should try to come in and both to encourage the United States and Russia in pursuing this dialogue on arms control and strategic stability. Another area where we might see cooperation is cooperation on climate change and climate policy. This is an issue in Russia which has been neglected for quite a long time, or to say differently, which has been almost viewed rather through a positive lens, since there have been quite positive effects of farmland in the east of Russia, a sea route in the Arctic. This has shifted to some extent. Russia now also talks more about the negative consequences of climate change. But at the same time, it is also an opportunity to come in on the questions of green energy without giving ourselves into illusions about Russia suddenly becoming a green energy country, as it is entirely dependent on fossil energies. Nevertheless, linking discussions about a Green New Deal post-COVID-19 green recovery with discussions with Russian, with Moscow could be a way forward for cooperative approaches. And then, of course, the last issue is Iran and the JCPOA. This is an area where, again, Europeans should also come in with their own ideas and proposals and try to bring everyone back on board.
Now, Europe has two crucial elections coming up between now and early 2022 in France and Germany. So what are the implications of the outcome of these elections for Euro-Atlantic security? And what does an ending Merkel era mean for the future of relations with Moscow?
Firstly, it will depend entirely on Europe, whether Europe will be perceived as a partner in leadership in policy towards Russia, as it was in 2014. We remember that the Obama administration took somewhat of a backseat in policy during the Ukraine crisis and left a lot of the heavy handling to Paris and Berlin. So it really depends on how engaged Europe will be if the US pursues its policy towards Russia rather in a bilateral way, or whether we see a common joint transatlantic effort. Of course, this is something which Russia and Moscow would not appreciate. Driving a wedge between Washington and Europeans was always an aim of Russian policy. So bringing these two together is something that Biden will definitely attempt, but he will also need a response and a strong reaction from Europeans. Will Europeans deliver this reaction? Well, that's the question mark. We have two crucial elections coming up in Europe this and next year. The first election is the Germany, it's elections in Germany, the parliamentary elections in September, which are important because it's not only a normal parliamentary election, but the beginning of the post-Merkel era in international politics and in German foreign policy. So we will see a new leader becoming chancellor, and this new leader will certainly have his own priorities and ideas for policy towards Russia. And we have to say that there are few leaders that have such a standing in Moscow as Angela Merkel had. She had a very respectful relationship also with the Russian president. They were able to talk to each other on the same level, which was in particular useful negotiations in the Ukraine conflict. So every successor to Angela Merkel will have to fill in very big shoes to be respected in the same way in Moscow as Merkel was respected in Moscow. The other election that is important in Europe in the next year is obviously the French presidential election. Macron pursued his very own approach towards Russia, which was not particularly liked in Berlin, and also especially not liked by Eastern European member states. Macron's idea of an outreach towards Russia when it comes to security and defense issues was so far has not led to tangible results, but it is an approach that he continues to pursue. If we compare the speeches at the Munich Security Conference, we see that both Merkel and Biden have addressed explicitly Russia and China as the most significant threat to the community in the next years. Whereas Macron has talked a lot about dialogue with Russia, also about taking a tough position and about European strategic autonomy, he has not addressed the issue of China in the same way that Biden has addressed it, which has also led to a bit more positive news reporting in Russia about Macron's speech than about Merkel's and Biden's speech. So we had in the past a different approach between Paris and Berlin. We had this Macron position on Russia, and it will depend on the domestic situation in France, whether he will have a chance for re-election in the presidential elections in 2022. The corona situation obviously does not make this his case better at the moment. But what could be problematic is if in Germany in September, we have a leader who has to grown into the job, has to get used to how to work with Russia. And at the same time, France and Paris will not be there to step into this vacuum, but will be busy with their own elections in spring the year after. So there is a risk that we might have a situation of vacuum in Europe at this time, which would be particularly problematic for the Normandy format, which was driven by the Chancellor's engagement, by the Chancellor's passion, by her deep knowledge of the topic. And under Macron, also a meeting took place in Paris. So we have to prevent that the Normandy format really goes to sleep during this time of leadership changes in Europe. That is the greatest challenge. And as I said, it really is up to the Europeans how they work together with the Americans, or whether the US Americans will rather pursue their own policy towards Russia. The necessity for a joint transatlantic approach is definitely realized in all capitals, but domestic policies often trump foreign policy priorities. So we have to see how this develops in the coming 2 years.
Thanks for joining us. This was the East-West Coffee Shop brought to you by the Younger Generation Leaders Network. We hope you liked this episode. If you want to learn more about YGLN, have a look at our website www.europeanleadershipnetwork.org and also follow us on Twitter at YGLN Tweets.